Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today. How are we, church? Oh, God's doing something. We just had an amazing service at 8:30. How great was conference? Where, you know, like Mitch was just saying that God is moving, He's shifting. We've been doing 6 a.m. prayer meetings. I've only, you know, able to do a couple a week, and there is this real sense of just reverence before a holy God. There's this real sense of, like Pastor Al preached on that first night, consecration. And consecration means to be set apart. Consecration means cutting things off that are not of the kingdom. And so in this Idols and Ideologies campaign, I am the raiser of that prophecy. I am going to allow the Word of God to just cut that stuff off, that residue off, that thing that holds you bound, that thing that holds you to that idol, because that idol does not want to lose its position in your life. It wants to be first. And like Pastor Al said on the video last week, it does not have the power and authority to hold your desires. Did you hear that when he said, that thing cannot contain or fulfill your desires. Only Jesus Christ can. So what we're going to do this morning is we're just going to cut that thing with the Word of God. But let's pray. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for what you're doing in this house. We come alongside and partner with you for what you're doing. We thank you for the Word of God that is living and active, a double-edged sword cutting between soul and spirit. We thank you, God, that we would let go of our egos this morning. We thank you, God, that where the Word of God offends us this morning, we would lean into that and realize that that is that moment where we're cutting between soul and spirit, separating ourselves from that pride, separating ourselves from that self-hatred, separating ourselves so that you will be enthroned in our life. You will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You will be Creator. You will be the one making all the decisions. You will be the one that we worship and glorify. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, amen. Amen. Have a seat, guys. Okay, I'm going to be in chunks of scripture today. As I said, I'm going to teach because I really felt in this series, Idols and Ideologies, I need to combat what is in your brain with the Word of God. Because especially in relation to the idol of ego, this one is big. This one sets itself up against God, and I'm going to show you the epitome of ego and the epitome of pride in the scripture, and I'm going to show you the epitome of humility. Because there are moments in our world out there that are telling us that this is all about us. In our world out there, it's telling us my desires are the foremost thing. My status, my likes, my how many people I've got on Instagram. All those things build my identity. But the Word of God says that when you humble yourself before God, He will exalt you. When you have this area in your heart where you're humble before Him, then it's Him that steps in and says, let me do the rest. When you're pursuing fame and pursuing fortune and pursuing career and pursuing all these things, that thing is going to let you down. However, the Lord God will never let you down. So we're going to talk about that. I love this quote when I was studying this idol of ego. It said, the nice thing about egotists is that they don't talk about other people because they're constantly talking about themselves. Pastor Phil said, I preached in front of Pastor Phil at the 8:30, and Pastor Phil said, I'm really proud of being humble. and it was a joke. It's okay. I thought it was funny. I said, can I use that, Pastor Phil? He's like, yeah, sure. I'll tell him. It went well. Not. That's probably why he got me to do it first. Ego is this understanding of self-esteem and self-importance. It's that place in your heart of what is governing your self-identity. And ego has this thing. This is why we didn't call this series pride. We called it ego. Because ego is the Greek pronoun for I. When you hear in your language that everything is about you, I feel this, I want this, I desire this, and then God comes in and says, how about me? And that I raises itself up against God. Anyone had that moment where you're like, I don't want to do that? And God says, yes, you will. And then this ego comes up. It's us being in control of something that we simply shouldn't. And the answer is repentance. Repentance is that beautiful moment where you realize you should not be in control, he should. At conference, it was right here at conference, I nearly hit my head on the stage. At conference, Corey placed his head as he was laying hands on people and he laid hands on me. And I just got this overwhelming sense of, Katie, you are a control freak. Not, Katie, you're amazing. It was this, Katie, you are a control freak. And I fell to my knees and wept and wept and wept as I just repented of that thing, that need to control everything. Anyone else? That need to have all my ducks in a row and have everything under control. As I laid that down, I got completely set free of that desire that I have to have everything under control. Otherwise, I had to trust my God. This morning after this, after I preach, we're going to open up the altar and some of you are going to get set free. There is healing in this place. There is breakthrough in this place as you come down. All right, so guys, I'll get you to jump into Isaiah 14 and I'll meet you there. Go on your phones because we're actually going to have a look at it as a full text. We're talking about this understanding of the idol of ego, and there's this thing in us. Do you remember that table that Pastor Al had on the screen? We can't put it up again because the green screen couldn't do it. But there's two areas of ego. You could say, hey, I'm not loud, I'm not arrogant, I'm not out there, so this doesn't apply to me. However, it does. Ego is two things. The excess is pride, where you are in control, you are the God of your life, you do everything, it's all about me. In the middle is the principle of humility, which we're going to talk about today. This beautiful balance. Don't you love that the kingdom principles are balanced? Kingdom principles have this beautiful balance of in the middle is humility. However, on the other side of the idol of ego is a self-hatred. Same idol, ego. One says, I can. The other says, I can't, so I won't. There's an idol of self-hatred that stops you from stepping into the will of God, stepping into the things of God, stepping in because you can't see who you are properly. In the middle here, we're going to talk about security in the identity of Christ brings humility. Knowing who you are in Christ sets you free in that. Let me tell you a story. James 4:6 says this, God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. Who wants God's favor this morning? So we have this sense of humility. When I first was thinking about doing Treasure Bible, it took me 3 years to do Treasure Bible. 3 years to get to the point where I said yes to God. I got prophecy after prophecy after prophecy. And you know, the thing wasn't pride. It wasn't this pride that was stopping me from doing it. It was this one over here, self-hatred. Every time a prophecy came to me saying, Katie, I see you doing... I mean, how clear can you get? Katie, I see you doing a website that helps people read their Bible. You know, first thing that goes in my head, into my heart, I can't do that. I won't do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm Mark Kelsey's PA. I'm a female teacher. They don't like female teachers out there. I'm not doing it. I can't do it. Self-hate. 3 years I battled self-hatred. 3 years. Another prophecy came. Katie, I see you doing this. No, I won't. Last person was Kerry and I rebuked her to her face. I said, no, I'm not doing it. God, you can stop. I'm not doing it. Then I go to New York and I'm in a different area and 3 a.m. in the morning I wake up and Father God comes to the room. And he said, you're being disobedient. And I said, I genuinely can't do it. And he said, but it's not about you. This morning, some of us have that pride on this side, self-hatred on this side, and God is saying, it's not about you. I need you to get beyond you so you can do the things and the purposes of God. Okay, let's jump into the scripture. Three things that govern, the humility needs to govern in our life. Humble people are secure, humble people are others focused, and humble people are strong in their God. That's the goal. So number one, humble people walk humbly before their God. Micah 6:8 says this, he has shown you, O mortal, what is good. This is basically in our language saying he has shown you, puny human, what is good. He's putting you in your place. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Pride stops us from walking humbly with my God. I was walking disobedient with my God, not because of arrogance, but because of self-hatred, and I was saying no. You've got to know that He is your creator. He is good. He is loving. He is kind. He is all powerful, so that you can establish your identity in Him and walk humbly with Him. Secondly, we're called to be clothed in humility. Colossians 3:12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves, basically wrap it around everything you do, with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. This is who we are called to be as Christians. So it determines your relationship with God. It determines your actions, and it determines your relationship with others. In Philippians 2:3-4, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. I'm a huge fan of Francis Chan, Crazy Love, and I know he's a Bible teacher freak, but I love him. He's so amazing, and he said this. He said, imagine a church that walks humbly into a room and looks at everybody around completely selflessly looking for somebody to bless. Imagine a church that walks in and says, oh, this is not, imagine a church that's like, you know, on a mission from God and goes, okay, who can I bless in this service? Who is it today that I can bless? Imagine a church that is so humble that this isn't just about me. This is about them. Francis Chan said, that is when we will step into a revival, which is amazing. I'm going to go through two choices in the Word of God. There are two things, and I want to show you the arrogance and pride, and I want to show you the life of Christ in humility. Let's go. Isaiah 14:12-15. What I want you to do in these scriptures is notice the language. Okay, as you read the Bible, sometimes the language is really going to jump out. So we're going to notice the language. Isaiah is prophesying, according to the text, over the king of Babylon. But this is very well known as a description of the fall of Lucifer in the beginning. Okay, how you have fallen from heaven, morning star, son of the dawn. You have been cast down to the earth who once laid low the nations. You who once laid low the nations. You said where? In your heart. Pride starts in the heart. This is why we've got to be really aware in these altar call times that we're bringing our heart before God. Not just our outside, but our heart before God. It says, you said in your heart, I will ascend to the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the Mount of Assembly and on the utmost heights of Mount Zaphon. This is his goal. He doesn't just want to be one of the angels. He wants up there. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. This idol of ego is now seated on the throne. Can you hear it? And the result of that? But you are brought down to the realms of the dead. Not even earth, guys. He doesn't even just get humbled to earth, to the realms of the dead, to the depths of the pit. When I read this, Psalm 139:23 jumped out at me. Search me, O Lord, and know my heart. As Christians, through this time of consecration, as we are laying our lives before God and seeing what God is doing with the move of God and people getting healed and all these incredible things that are happening, the idols campaign, we're just going to chip off those things as we humbly come before God and say, I need to cast my crowns before you. I need to lay down humbly before you and say, reveal my heart, O Lord. Because once it starts in the heart, as I was in worship this morning, I saw this. It was just a tree, a seed that has been in your heart. And it's pride. It's I can do this. I want this. I want that. And it's got roots. Because once it starts in that heart, you've got to uproot that thing. Has anyone had those moments where God's like, let's just check out that tree in there? You've got to uproot that thing, because the Bible says in Luke 14:11, for all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. The onus is on us to humble ourselves. The onus is on us to come down to the altar and say, okay, God, I'm humbling myself before you this morning. The onus is on us to recognize the I language in our language and say, I'm sorry, God, I'm humbling myself. The onus is on us is to get that ego off that throne and cast it down. It's funny, we were talking in the 8:30 service and 20 years ago I read this book. Now, some people believe it's Colton, a guy called Colton. Some people believe it's Baker. I don't know who it was. But I was reading a book about a minister, American minister, and he had fallen and he was reading it. He was writing this thing from prison. And he said this. Somebody said to me, how could God have done this to you? And he said, God didn't do this to me. Three times God came to me and said, humble yourself. Three times. He said the last time God came to him and said, you have to humble yourself. He said, in the last time, he said, you are about to be humbled publicly. And he still didn't do it. Dope. Then God said to him really clearly in the last moment, he said, I'm more concerned with your soul than your ministry. Humble yourself. And now he's writing from prison going, dolt. Church, the first time he comes to you and says, hey, there's a seed in there, get that thing out. You don't know what that's going to do. You don't know where that's going to grow, but don't worry about that. Just get that thing out and humble yourself. Let's have a look at a good example. Jesus Christ came as king and servant simultaneously. In Revelation 19, he is the rider on the white horse. He's got eyes of blazing fire. He's got a sword coming out of his mouth. Do you know what his name is? Faithful and true. He is both perfectly king and perfectly servant all at once. In Luke 22, 42, to counter Isaiah of what we've just seen, the fall of Lucifer, this is what Jesus Christ says in the Garden of Gethsemane in the greatest moment where he could have turned around and said, I do not want to do this. He says this, not my will, but yours be done. He could have at that point just dropped the mic. He literally has reversed all of the I wills of Isaiah. I will ascend. I will do this. I will do that. I will do this. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, he says, no, not my will, but yours be done. This morning, there's an area of your life. Maybe it's your finances, your business, your family, where God's tapping on the door of your heart saying, hey, you need to say, not my will, Lord, but yours be done. I bring that humbly before you. Philippians 2, 3 to 11. Let's have a look at the nature of humility. I'm going to start in verse 5. Have you noticed in your Bible, this is a different format. If you're looking at your Bible, it's a different format because it's a Christ hymn. It's supposed to be sung. I will not do that for you today for the sake of your ears and mine. It's supposed to be sung, but it doesn't lack in authority. It's basically how they remember the scripture. So in your relationships with one another, can you see that this is not just about humility before God? He's saying in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Oh my gosh, I could probably get the mindset of maybe Peter. He had a bit of an anger problem. I could probably get the mindset, but have the mindset of Christ Jesus. This is a high goal. Then it says this trajectory. Now notice the trajectory. Notice what he does first. He doesn't go up first. In Isaiah, it was I will, I will, I will, and therefore he got, like it says, because he exalted himself, he got humbled. This is the reverse. Who being in very nature God, so he had every right to be arrogant, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. He basically realized that this was something he needed to empty. Can I say, do not use anything in your life to your own advantage. There's sometimes when I have conversations with people and they're talking about revelation and I just want to jump in there and smash them. I just want to go all, on them. And then this scripture comes into my head. In your relationships with one another, Katie, consider equality with God. Do nothing out of your own advantage. Is this going to help that person? Is it going to lift up? No, it's not. Don't say anything. Rather, he made himself nothing. Can you see the onus is on him, on us? By taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Can you see how it goes down? He's God. He makes himself nothing, takes on the nature of a servant, found in human likeness, humbles himself again to death, not just a normal death, doesn't just die a nice little normal death with his family gathered around him. No, he dies again, death on a cross. He went to the depth of humility for you and I. How much more should we? He emptied himself and said, hey, in your relationships with one another, do this. Now, I'm not saying you need to die on a cross for your friends. That's a bit extreme. However, we do need to lay our ego down sometimes and find someone in the room that needs our attention more than us. We maybe need to join a connect group when we don't feel like we want to, because it's not about you, it's about others. Now we hit the therefore. How good is this? Because he humbled himself, we all want the therefore God exalted, right? We all want God to use us. We all want this moment where God is using us and doing stuff. However, we don't want to do that trajectory over there. We don't want to walk through humility. We don't want to get rid of our ego. We don't want to do those things. But that is the door to therefore God. It's this beautiful sense, therefore God exalted him to the highest place. Now it goes back up. Gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. In heaven, so not just in heaven, we've gone beyond heaven now. In heaven, on earth and under the earth. And every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. In this life, if you lay down your life and humble yourself, God takes over. If you're battling with that, then you need to know how good and loving and kind your God is. If the battle within you this morning is, hey, God, I can't give you my future because I want to be famous, then just let that thing go. Youth, I'm telling you, there is a battle for you out there that says, I, you need to do this. It's all about you. It's all about how you feel. It's all about, you know what, when you humble yourself before God, he won't just take you for where you dream. He will take you above and beyond what you ask, think, or imagine. At 14, I laid my life down and I was like, God, I can't do anything. And I wanted to be a prosecutor. I was going to be I was going to be an amazing prosecutor in my head. But I had to lay that thing down because God was calling me to a different calling. And it was hard because I wanted to be a prosecutor. I wanted to have money. I wanted to have status. I wanted the house and all that stuff. But as I humbled myself before God at 14 and said, you know what, not my will, but yours be done, you will go above and beyond what you ask, think, or imagine because he's involved. You got to get God involved to activate the things of God. Sorry, guys, anyone talking to the youth there. Okay, jump into John 13. But that's for all of us. Family, if family stuff is happening and you're battling with family stuff, just submit. There is a beautiful, anyone... Through Christian life, I have realized the most beautiful moment in my prayer time is when Katie Haldane gets out of the way. Anyone else? I've worked it out, Lord. I've decided that this is how they're going to get saved and this is what's going to happen and you're going to heal me here and you're going to heal me there. And God's like, are you serious? And then I realize, oh, hang on. There was a lot of, I'm going to do that. And that moment where you submit your heart to God, where you bend your knee. You know that song that says, I touch the sky when my knees hit the ground. When you bend your knee and you're like, I genuinely cannot do this, Lord. And he's like, hallelujah. Get out of the way and let me do it. Some of you this morning, you need to come down the front, bend your knee. And I can hear the angels singing hallelujah over you. And he'll get involved. Therefore, God. In John 13, I'm just going to finish on this, guys. There's this beautiful moment. The thing about humility is this, you have to be secure. Security brings humility and humility is security. If you are not secure in your God, then you will sway towards pride or self-hatred. Humility is security in God. If your identity is not in him, what do I mean by that? I'm secure in my call of God. I'm secure in how much he loves me. I'm secure in what he's called me to do. Therefore, I'm not going to rely on my ego, on my pride, or I'm not going to beat myself up because I know my God. This morning, some of you need to get a fresh security. Let me show you this in Jesus' life, in John 13. I'll get the band to come up, please. I think you already are. It was just before the Passover festival. Now, John, guys, remember Gospel of John? He's going to give you snippets of little insider tips because he's there and he's writing much later. all the other Gospels have been written, and when you read John, he's like, can I just add that this is what Jesus was thinking here, or this is what was happening? Because again, he's the beloved disciple that Jesus loved the most, and of course he would know more. That was a joke, it's okay. John 13, 1 to 17, it was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. You've got to have security that your God knows your circumstances. He knows your business. He knows what's going on. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. He was motivated by love. The evening meal was in progress and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. We've got two people at this table, one that's in pride and arrogance and saying, how dare Jesus not know me, so I'm now going to go and betray him. And another one who is the son of God himself that has every right to stand up and be arrogant. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. He was secure. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, wrapped a towel around his waist and began to wash their feet. That's the one we serve. He knows these things. He knew what was happening. He knew he was going to do the greatest thing of humility. He was about to lay down his life for them. And he says at the end of this, do the same, guys. But can I tell you, you won't wash others' feet until you know who you are. You won't. You'll be like, I'm not washing their feet. Do they not know who I am? Do you not know? You need to know who you are in Christ before you'll wash someone else's feet. There is a security coming to our church through this move of God. That we are going to know who we are in Christ, and from that humility and strength and identity, we will wash people's feet. We will take care of the community. We will take care of people that God gives us. Why? Not because we self-hatred, we think we deserve that. No, because we know who our God is and he is in the right position. That's what God is doing. Stand to your feet, guys. So I know I have been a bit of a razor this morning, the word of God that comes in cutting between your emotions. But you know what? As a church, we don't want to have God come to us and say, humble yourselves. And we say, no, we're good. Imagine that as a church. We want as a church where God says, hey, I'm coming to meet with you this morning. I can feel him. I'm coming to take that out of your hands and let me have that. The first step is repentance. The first step is a humble heart that says, you know what? I am doing a terrible job at that. You can have it. Like Mitch said, the oil of the Holy Spirit is here this morning to get rid of that residue. Maybe there's a bit of pride because you want to be in control. You got to let that go. Maybe there's self-hatred because you don't see the goodness of God in you. You've got to let that go this morning. Can I say, humility will open your eyes to see what God is doing. Just look at me for a second. It was not until I got set free of self-hatred that I could see what all those prophetic people were seeing. It wasn't until I said, God, I'm sorry. I'm going to get off the throne of my life. I'm going to lay down my life. Not my will, but yours be done. And if I have to stand up in front of a camera and do it, I will do that and have a panic attack and vomit after, but that's okay. I will do that because not my will, but yours be done. The second that I bowed my knees and repented before him, I saw vision after vision. I saw the videos. I saw the Bibles. I saw everything 3 years before they came into fruition. Someone said to me 3 years later, are you going to do a Bible? I said, yeah, I did. I saw it 3 years ago when I repented before God and let him get on the throne again. What is God going to show you this morning when you just bow your knee? Come on. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. Consecrate yourself. Consecrate yourself. Consecrate yourself. Humble yourself before God. Not out of self-hatred. Not out of whipping yourself, I deserve to be humble. No, out of security because your God is King. That is the call of this house. And as you just wait on God this morning, with every head bowed and eye closed, before we go into a time of altar, we've got plenty of time, we're going to open up the altar. If you don't know and you haven't said yes to Jesus and you've come in here and that's the first step of this journey. If you haven't said yes to Jesus, if you haven't said, you know what, God, I believe in you. I accept you as Lord and Savior. And maybe it's pride stopping you from doing that. Maybe it's, oh my gosh, I don't want to be out of control. Humble yourself before him this morning. If you haven't said yes to Jesus, then I want you to put up your hand boldly this morning. Just put it up nice and high because it's really smoky in here and I can't actually see. But put it up nice and high. If you are saying, or if you're returning to God, if you've walked away from him, and this is the moment where you're coming back like a prodigal and you're saying, you know what? I do need to submit to you afresh. Then I want you to put up your hand too and say, yes, you know what? I'm coming back, Lord. We're just going to wait for a second, guys. Church, pray. This is the most important decision of this whole thing. That we see people saved and set free. You don't need to carry that sin. The Bible says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but by me. This morning, you need Jesus. If that's you, then I need you to boldly put up your hand. Beautiful. Thank you, Lord. We're not missing this opportunity, guys. Thank you, God. Church, let's say this prayer. Just in case you didn't feel bold enough to put up your hand, please come and chat to us after. But say this prayer. Say, dear Lord Jesus, I give you my life this morning. I repent of my sin. Wash me clean of sin. Set me free. I accept you as Lord and Savior. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.